This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 291 of the Countdown Podcast, where we celebrate failure. My name is Wayne.
Accurate. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And today, we're going back to the snark land.
That's right.
The land in which we shit on things because they did doth annoy us.
Damn right.
The worst 10 supposed blockbusters of the naughty. So from 2000 to 2009, the worst 10 films that were meant to be huge that sucked serious ass.
Exactly. Now, Paul, we did discuss this briefly before the show, although, blockbuster.
Mm.
In your estimation, a blockbuster needs to be successful?
Well, we had this discussion, as you say, and we went, well, yes and no.
Yes, because here's the thing. If you were a studio, you were pitching like, you're saying the blockbuster something when it hasn't actually gone to the movies yet.
Yes.
So you can call it a blockbuster before anything it earns any.
Exactly. So it's an expected blockbuster, or as we've called it, supposed blockbuster. So in other words, the films that were meant to be big. Now, some of them on my list are big. They made squillions of dollars. They fucking suck, right? Whereas there are other films on my list which were supposed to be big and did actually suck.
Yes.
So we could have gone, we could have separated them out and said only the successful ones that are shitty. And we could have done the ones that weren't successful that were supposed to be. So we combined the two in together. 2000, 2009, if that was supposed blockbuster. And our definition of this was $80 million budget plus.
Exactly.
That's just for us. We didn't ask.
We had to pick something.
Yep.
So $80 million, that's a fair chunk of cheese.
Yeah, especially in the early 2000s, exactly. Let alone by the end of the 2000s.
Exactly. So there you are.
That's the parameters by which we are doing today's show. Now, we're recording a little earlier than usual.
Mm-hmm.
So peek behind the curtains, if I can use that term. So no results from last week's Top 10 Films of the Undead with Sean from the Story of Your and Yours podcast.
Oh, I can really guess how that works.
I reckon you're going to do very well, just quietly, because people will be like, oh, Wayne did a good job. He tried. Hooray!
Everyone, that's what Paul thinks you sound like.
No, actually, here's what I think the listeners sound like when they refer to you in horror.
Well, that makes no sense at all.
Long story short, we'll see that result. But instead, for this week's recount, I have something else different that you need to hear about.
Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap?
The recount is where we talk about shit that you sell to us, Paul.
Normally it is. This week it's about shit that happened on the internet that we started.
Oh.
Well, not really, but how is this? The news.com.au article, one of the premier news websites this morning, said Chris Pratt publicly defended by Marvel co-stars hyphen over Twitter poll.
What Twitter?
Do you know what that Twitter poll was, Wayne?
What?
Comes from someone named Amy Berg, who really we should sue for all they're worth.
Why?
One has to go picture of Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, Chris Pine, and Chris Evans.
What?
Son of or bitch of a bitch.
Bitch of a bitch.
I'm not sure, Amy.
Amy, you want to step to me?
Amy, that post, 10.6 thousand likes by the time it was captured for this news
Talk
article. Someone is listening / passing on our content.
I see what's going on here.
This is unacceptable.
No.
And we should sue for all they're worth.
For the record, what is that story?
Well, this is a story. So Chris Pratt lost.
Of course just, he lost. Yeah, just like he did with us. He's going to lose.
So I'm not sure I want to have the Marvel aiming at us. But that said, I'm sure any, well, what's the marketing term? Yes, any advertising.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
So this fun, lighthearted challenge, says the article, pitted the Guardians of the Galaxy 41-year-old against fellow Hollywood hunks Chris Pine, Chris Evans, and Chris Hemsworth, and left Pratt's crew pretty peeved, when many people on Twitter chose Pratt as their least favorite.
Makes sense.
That really what we need? There's so much going on in the world and people struggling in so many ways. Being mean is so yesterday, said Chris Pratt's wife, Schwarzenegger.
Look, I do think it's a bit mean, all right? I know we did it, but yes, I mean, you know, if you were Chris Pratt, first of all, you know you're a bit fat. you know you're a bit fat and everyone else looks like fucking Hemsworth, right?
Not everyone.
Well, yeah, but...
Pine Hemsworth Evans, sure.
Pine's like handsome enough to not need a good body. That's what I think. Anyway.
Anyway, it goes on. Robert Downey Jr., who portrayed Iron Man, obviously shared a picture of himself working with Pratt on set and defended Pratt's political and religious values. When did we get to that point?
What happened there?
We've never said anything about his religious... That I like the way that I'm taking this personally.
No, that took a left. That took a left. It was like, wait a minute. I thought he lost a poll.
Obviously, there were some comments in there the about that. Masses, and this is why I haven't voted for him.
Sorry, I sneezed.
Dynamite drop in money. The broadcast school has really paid off.
There we go. Shit, that's astounding to me. Mark Ruffalo said, Pratt is a solid as man as there is. Look at how he lives his life. He's just not overly political as a rule. This is a distraction. Let's keep our eyes on the prize, friends. We are so close now, i.e. vote for Biden. Yeah.
You know, I read this article and I was like kind of on board with it.
Did
I'm
you
like,
not realize though? Like, we did this weeks ago.
Yeah, that I didn't actually know that that was what it was about. I thought they were just giving him shit about in general.
I'm a little upset.
Yeah, can I understand. Tell? I understand.
Like, it's a, where's it's a our credit, thing? Amy? You fucking thief.
Nice one.
All right, that's the end of this week's recap. Let's get into the episode proper on this side. This is a huge thing.
Or should I say supposed blockbusters?
That is what I should have said. And what is indeed the title of the show? We've already discussed the parameters. So I'm going to kick off, though, with an honorable mention.
Yeah, hit me with an HM.
Number 11, which I don't know. I do know. We don't normally do. But I thought this was worth mentioning because it only had a budget of $73 million.
Just missed out.
And it killed John McTiernan's career.
Which one?
2002's Rollerball remake.
Oh, is that how much it cost?
I really love the 75, 76, whatever it was, Norman Jewison.
That was at least, it's definitely James Caan. Yes, James Caan.
So when you've got James Caan, you know who you're replacing with in 2002?
Who?
Fresh off American Pie success, Christopher Kline.
I just remembered that now. I just remembered he was the guy up. Oz was in motherfucking
Rollerball. This film was destined to fail from the get-go. But, okay, so here's the story. He wanted it to be R. The studio said, nah, needs to be PG-13. So they made him tool it down to being that by various means. So what happened was basically McTiernan went, well, fuck this shit. I've got a way to fight back. He got Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News to fly out and preview the film, like watch an early cut of it in the R-rated format. Because apparently he was a noted shill. If you flew him out, if you treated him well.
Is that so?
Yeah, this is back in the early days. Yeah, internet, and right?
Cool. I didn't know he was a shill,
somehow
though.
It got huge numbers back
no,
in the
No, he did. Stuff. He was like he was celebrated everywhere.
Yeah, and it became known in the system, treat him well, he'll light up your film in a good way.
Really?
Yeah. So it came out, backfired entirely on McTiernan because he tore it a new one.
Really?
Flew him out, 5-star hotel, all meals paid. He just said, fuck this piece of shit because it was a piece of shit.
Did they release the PG or the R?
Well, that was the R. So MGM won and they released the PG film. And he had to go back and reshoot it and it's the work of a man who's lost his way, right? So they had to put like ridiculous bars across breasts to cover the nudity in scenes. There's
really?
Yeah, apparently.
How do you get away with that?
The slow motion just to avoid the blood and guts that would have been there in the scenes where there was. It's just...
I sort of want to watch
stinks.
It now.
Stinks.
Yeah, okay.
All yeah, right. I'm not going back there again. I did watch it. It was fucking terrible. He wasn't fired, right, despite the dailies, which came out afterwards. But when it was re-released and the like, what he eventually did do, he was sent to jail, McTiernan,
why?
Of this film. Because he started a wiretap on one of the producers of the film. Trying to find out what they were saying about it against that guy's will.
Are you kidding me?
No. This is what he went to jail. I thought he went to jail for tax evasion. No, he went to jail for this.
Is this Die Hard?
No, this the guy who directed Die Hard and Predator.
Yeah.
Yeah, and The Hunt for Red October.
This happened to him?
Yeah.
Huh.
And there's a reason we've not seen another John McTiernan film.
No, because that's some classic shit he's
pulled. He might have had one other film. I'm not even going to look it up, but something scratched in the back of my head says he might have had
one other. I didn't know he went to jail in it. Okay, interesting. Okay, well, we'll go with my number 10 then, Shrek the Third.
Now, no arguments. None at all.
Good Lord.
Everything after Shrek the First should be just fucking burnt.
I'll be honest with you, right? First of all, 160 mil, right? Makes a box office of 813. I know.
We don't care whether it made money. We've made that exactly. Point. So there's, yes. There's not a problem.
But with this one, here's the thing. Even Shrek 2, you say you didn't like Shrek 2 much. Actually attended Shrek 2 with my cousins in the cinema, and I won't say we were baked, but I won't say we weren't either. So it's...
ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
It was back in the Dizzy, all right? So, and I'm not saying that happened. I'm just saying, you know,
statue think about that. Smoketations.
Think about that. Now, that is actually one of my favorite cinema-going experiences, yeah. That one there, because it was
do that
really...
one day, the top 10 cinema-going experiences.
Absolutely. It was really funny. We were pissing ourselves laughing. It was a kid's film, but we got all the gags. Fine. Come back to this one here, right? The magic's just gone in this third one. Mm. Like, I don't know what... It tried. It had a couple good scenes in it. Of course, amazing, flawless animation, right? But by that stage, we were used to it, because it was just, yeah. All the same as this one.
Yep.
So it just... I don't know. However clever, funny shit in there, it doesn't make up for just sheer inspiration. So a film with a few moments doesn't win against just a good, simple movie. So, yeah, that's what... Shrek the Third.
I remember disliking all of them, but progressively so. So my daughter's of the age now where she appreciates them and watches them, not ad nauseum. She'll just go through a Shrek phase.
Sure.
And watch whichever one she turns on. And I'll say, which one's this one? She'll go, I don't know.
Oh, really?
It's a Shrek film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I...
Goddamn kids of today.
Because then there's like Donkey and then there's the cat one and then the fucking... Yeah, Pussy in Boots. Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Shrek the Fourth, which was even worse again. But
there's a fourth one. There you go. Yeah, completely forgot about it.
All right, my number 10, Wayne, may well upset you because I understand that you are a supporter of this film. And look, I didn't hate it because the visuals are stunning and the way it was presented was incredible. But I am talking about a film which apparently has four more sequels coming. I'm talking James Cameron's 2009 Avatar.
Oh, I loved Avatar. You didn't like Avatar? Come on. Why?
I really appreciated it on the day we went and saw it, and I believe we saw it with our
that means you liked it.
Ex-partners. But having since seen it again, oh, man, this film is bad.
Yeah, look, we were in the 3D cinema.
Yes, I'm saying the presentation's great.
Yeah.
As a first-time immersive 3D experience, wonderful. As a fucking piece of shit film you watch on your Blu-ray at home, it is terrible.
Did it look worse or did it feel worse?
Well, there's none of the grandiosity. There's none of the whole enveloped.
Yes, because we were in that world when it happened. Right? Yeah.
All you're left then is the story and the acting. And I'm sorry.
Not so good.
No one's great in this movie.
Not even Sigourney?
Not even Sigourney. The best is probably Stephen Lang as the bad guy. But what's his name? The Australian dude.
Would agree. Sam Worthington. Oh, no.
This was meant to turn him into a star.
What? Bop, 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 bop. Well, okay, hang on. The problem with Sam Worthington is he slipped his accent slipped every now and then, right? I heard he's a bit Aussie. That's fine, but like, that's not actually. And I saw Terminator Salvation. We talked about this the other week, God. Right? I thought he was outstanding in that. I was like, this guy is the shit. I can see why but that was the second movie he made after this one.
Apparently everybody agrees with me because it's not like you see Sam Worthington in every third film a la Tom Cruise at his heyday.
He's not even Jai Courtney-ing. He's not even on that level for a guy who was in the movie.
I assume he's back in Avatar 2, is he? I don't know. What's
he would have to be
call for that.
Well, I mean, he'd have to give up that job at Donald. I don't know. The point. No, I'm kidding. No, actually, Sam Worthington is in a few things here and there. So he definitely does.
Which is the one we saw Everest. He was in that in a bit role and
A bit role, was it really?
Yeah, it wasn't a big role in that.
Mm. Yeah.
But look, the emphasis here is the script is dog fucking shit. It is. Fern Gully, it is Pocahontas, it is Dances with Wolves, redone again. Piece of shit.
Oh,
fuck, I hope the second one is actually original.
I thought that the dragon thing was cool. The idea that they just jump through the air and fucking jump onto the fucking bird things and then they use their tails to fuck, I thought it was great. In fact, I wouldn't have thought it would actually work, but it did. Mind you, I've only seen it on the big screen.
Right. All right. Well, in that case, I'll let you off with that. Watch it again. Let's see. And you should watch it again before the second one comes out.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Eventually, one day, maybe, possibly, perhaps.
The next 40 or whatever, yeah. Okay, cool. My number 9 is X-Men Origins Wolverine.
I forgot all about this one.
Yes, dude. So, okay.
So, this is Gavin Hood, director of this one?
It is indeed.
Yeah, okay.
Gavin Hood.
Guy directed Eye in the Sky, would you believe?
Wow. You know what? This is the... Okay, so everyone, this movie is basically when Hugh Jackman, like, well in his Wolverine career. This is like a story with him and his freaking, like, beast, Sabretooth brother.
Liev Schreiber.
Yes. Now, look, there were certain things about this that I did dig. For one, It shows you that Wolverine actually had bone claws that jutted out of his hand, and then what happened
before
was
before they replaced with adamantium.
Yeah, they infused it with adamantium and intended to that. So better. All right. There's an opening sequence of him and his brother fighting through time.
That's the best bit by a million miles.
It is actually jaw-droppingly beautiful.
I think we talked about the best opening scenes of all time, and this was in there.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? Right after that, it started sucking. Because now this is where they had the Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds, and they sewed up his mouth. And then he wasn't even Deadpool. And then
the Merc with a mouth, without a mouth. Well done. Good decision.
But it was,
how do we make this PG-13? I know. Just don't make him fucking speak.
Exactly. And I know what... you know the story behind this. Ryan Reynolds went in there because he's always wanted to play Deadpool. And they said, look, it's either this or nothing. And he goes, fuck it, I'll do it. And he said, this is shit. Then he managed to make his own Deadpool later. But this is a piece of shit. In the end, it's just running around on the top of a dam or some shit. It's just bloody awful.
It is terrible. It's a good
and
choice.
Yeah, hated this movie. Hated it. So,
All right, my number 9 to follow right along there is another disappointing sequel.
Go on.
It is the John Woo directed 2000 film Mission Impossible 2.
Oh my God, I forgot this one! Oh my God, I forgot it! Shit. You deserve to win.
I'm glad you agree.
You deserve to win.
What a piece of shit.
I can't believe I forgot this one.
Like, I bought the 4K 6 film set for my dad for Father's Day.
Why wouldn't you?
Right?
Why wouldn't you?
And I basically wrote in the card, Dad, please enjoy these 5 films. And I'm sorry about number 2.
You know, I remember us seeing Mission Impossible 2. We went to the cinema with a group of friends, girls, guys, all right? And it was supposed to be this thing. And I think it was the first time we went to the La Première Flaps or whatever, right? So I'm pretty sure it was that, right? So we all went there and it was this big event which we were hosting, right? You and me had decided everyone should see this.
Ruh-roh.
Oh, dude. And then we walked out. And I remember some of the chicks were like, I quite liked that. And he said, do you like it? And I went, I thought it was shit. I immediately thought it was shit. Usually I'm starstruck a bit at the end of a movie. Not this time.
I remember literally going to see the first Mission Impossible.
Yes.
Circus 96, I think.
Sure, sure.
I could be wrong. Could be 97.
Around there.
Around that point in time. And it was right around the time we were making our films.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We won't go into that if you're new to the show.
Films,
welcome.
It's horrible. Sorry. Yes.
And I remember saying to my dad, walking out the door, this is like the first time I'm excited to see a director. Not the star.
Absolutely. Brian De Palma.
And so I was so excited for this one because John Woo, fucking hard
dude.
Target. Not so hard target. Less hard target. More the killer.
The killer, fucking.
More fucking hard boiled.
All that shit.
Oh my God.
Dude, remember
and now he's doing a big budget American film?
Not only that, Paul. I remember you and me having this discussion where it was like, dude, apparently Tom Cruise wants John Woo. And everyone shat their pants and dove to the right in slow motion firing guns. It was amazing, right? It was like this.
And Wayne did that and he dived and shot me in the back of the head.
That's right. It was a joke. It was an accident. Sorry. So,
that's a reference to Wayne playing team sport shooting games on the PC.
Yeah, Paul thinks when I multiplayer, I accidentally drill my own
teammate. Accidentally.
It was an accident. Anyway. But yes, we heard all of that and we all shat our pants because John Woo is John Woo. And then now what? Tom Cruise, who I was still in love with at the time. and so, yeah. But then this happens.
Yep.
Sydney. He fucking... They're shooting Ford Falcons, man. They're blowing up Ford Falcons.
Tires on bikes changing on they move
that's
from road
nothing,
to
man.
Fucking dirt tracks.
And may I say, Tandy Newton. So
don't agree with that at all. I'm a Tandy Newton fan.
Actually, back then it was all good. So anyway...
How dare you?
I'm fine with it. Fair enough.
It's another widely regarded as the biggest piece of shit. It didn't destroy the franchise, but it gave it pause for a few years before J.J. Abrams rebooted it / continued with the Mission Impossible 3.
You know when I checked out, Paul? When they were doing some bullshit, he was on a motorcycle. All these cars were around him. He's shooting at the cars. He fucking flies across the road, jumps on it, somehow does a stoppie where... His back wheel of his fucking motorcycle is flipping around and he shoots, and he blows up the car. I'm like...
I think I checked out way before that, but I do literally remember the flying through the air, firing guns at each other, him and DeGray Scott.
The fight at the end I thought was so good at the time, and then I looked at it and went, this is shit, because it was crap.
It's awful.
Anyway,
it's awful.
Please, yes, good.
All right, back to you number 8.
My number 8 is a movie called Stealth.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen Stealth?
I think you're going to get Sam Hurley, good friend from the Movie Reviews and 20 Qs podcast. Do check out their show.
Oh, yes.
He nominated this as one of his listener choices.
Well, first of all, Paul, did you know that this movie is based on a Commodore 64 video game?
Wow.
I know. And it's basically about flying towards a tower, then you shoot it after fucking like 10 minutes. That's it. So
sounds awesome.
I know. But
sign me up.
This movie, they've gotten... It's set in the near future. Navy develops this fighter jet which is piloted by an artificial intelligence thing, because that was big back then. The jet's placed on an aircraft carrier in the Pacific, and then it's supposed to learn combat maneuvers from the human pilots, but then the computer develops a mind of its own, and it starts fucking shit up. So now you got Jessica Biel, Jamie Foxx, and Josh Lucas, who you could easily mistake for Matthew McConaughey, Brad Cooper,
Patrick Wilson.
He's the guy, Josh Lucas syndrome. I've talked about this. He never gets, no one remembers his name. Anyway, this was supposed to be huge. $135 million was the budget.
Wow, that's a big budget.
Huge budget.
What year was this again?
2005, damn. I think. Yeah.
$135 million. So bad that the chair I'm sitting on just squeaked in protest.
Well, Jamie Foxx talked about this, and he said when he was making this movie, it was like, this is going to be the biggest movie of all time. It's actually really shit. And also, this is back in like mid-2000s where you could kill the token black guy in the movie, which is what they did. Spoilers. You shouldn't see this film, though. It's very, very bad.
If you have, you don't care.
And I mean, I guess Jessica Biel looks great. You fan, Paul? You fan of Jessica? Sure. Acting wooden. Everything's crap. It is stupid. Right. So, yeah.
No arguments. Good choice. My number eight is not dissimilar, in that this is a film which should have been so much better, but it does have, first of all, the yoke of Michael Bay around its neck. The second yoke of Shia LaBeouf starting to grate with everybody.
Mm. Oh, and, oh, yes, 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 yes.
It is. Explosions are cool. Fuck everything else. The second film in the Transformers sequence, The Revenge of the Fallen, from 2009. Now, I will stand on record. The first Transformers film, because I don't have the attachment to it that most do from their childhood, I thought was fine.
You know what, Paul? I have massive attachment to the Transformers franchise.
Yeah, the original.
Child,
right.
I thought the first one was shit.
Okay. All right.
I was like, I don't see it. Not shit, but
not
great.
I think if you were a big fan, you would have hated the first one. I had no attachment. Didn't mind it. Liked some of the bits and pieces, especially like the one coming out of the desert floor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was cool looking.
There were some great shots.
It was definitely cool looking.
But this one just did what Michael Bay does, and that is exaggerate all the things to add to the budget. So there's more explosions and there's more moving parts and there's more quick edits and there's, you can't fucking decipher what's going on.
That is the problem with the franchise.
And this film had so little going for it.
Yeah, so little?
It stank so much that it made three more films that were all just as bad, yet they all continued to make money.
I think it was this one where I'm out, because like it was so
hard.
Did
you not see another one beyond this?
I think I may have seen parts of the third one, but like when I realized that I couldn't tell who was fighting who and which was an Autobot and which was, I'm like, this is actually a mistake. You've actually made a mistake. So fuck that.
It's not even the worst one in the series. That would be the last night.
Oh really?
Where we start to weave into
Arthur.
Isn't that one where
Optimus Prime was motherfucking bad for a while? I think that's what happened. Like, he had to turn bad or some shit. Like,
it's the one where we have fucking, you know, Anthony Hopkins and King Arthur and shit weaving through.
Is it?
Yeah, it's fucking awful.
Really? Is that what they did?
Yep.
I actually kind of want to watch it. Is there it's a problem, right?
Go on.
I don't know.
Have
all
fun.
Right. All right. Do I have to watch the other ones? Oh,
no, you don't. Believe. Apart from four has Mark Wahlberg as the main character now.
If Marky Mark's in it. Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. Yeah. No, good call. My number seven is National Treasure Book of Secrets. Now, let me tell you something,
folks. What was the budget on this bad boy?
130 mil.
Jeez.
130 mil. Okay. So now here's the thing, people. We have to take this back a little bit. Paul and I disagree on something called Dan Brown.
Oh.
Now, Paul says outwardly that Dan Brown is a hack.
Yep.
And he dislikes his prose. I, on the other hand, two airport novelists that I like. One is Carl Hiaasen. The other guy is this guy.
I'd rather read Carl Hiaasen, never having read him before, a million times
you,
over.
You would genuinely
because
like him.
Dan Brown can.
How would you like to suck my balls?
Dan can, how would you like my sucking my balls? Well, okay. This,
or if you prefer.
No, you're a cunt. I don't prefer
you. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt.
You're a cunt.
And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt.
Apparently, the only bigger cunt in the world now is JK Rowling. So.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of cunt stories about that. Oh, horrible. Anyway, sorry. Everyone, the Dan Brown thing is important. Were popular. This is America's version of a Dan Brown thing. Now, I didn't mind the first one. I'm sorry. I didn't. You know why? Nicolas Cage and I didn't give a fuck. All right?
Oh,
I'm
like, sorry. National Treasure. Sorry.
National Treasure, I've never seen
Da Vinci Flaps. No. I've seen Angels and Demons, sadly.
That one was really shit.
Oh,
but,
God.
No, for this one here, it's just the second one in this movie.
But this came out before Dan Brown shit, right?
No! This is a direct...
National Treasure didn't come out before Da Vinci Code was written?
Oh, I don't... Right,
you talk, I'll fucking look this
okay.
up.
Okay, my understanding was that this was Hollywood's version of that because they couldn't buy that or whatever. But
you might well be right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it works. But yeah, like I said, this one here, it's just based on some notion of family honor. Basically, Nicolas Cage
family.
So sick of being considered a wacko that, you know, he's up for a fight. It's really extremely bad. You have nothing to do with this movie when you watch it. It is a piece of shit. So, yeah, all I got to say about it is don't go watch this.
You're right. 2003, the book was written, and 2004. But that said, 2004, the film came out. I'm sure they were in development before.
But it was, I think it was known that the books
may have tackled
were starting to become popular and were hot properties. And they said, hey, I want my version of the fucking...
This film released worldwide November 19th for a film of $100 million, the first one. There's no way it was shot after Da Vinci Code came out.
But did the books come out first?
Yes.
Way first?
No, 2003, the year before.
Really? Mm-hmm. So is this actually a coincidence? Because I always assumed it was a copycat.
So someone got word and they may have rushed into development, but no one had seen the finished product by the time they were filming this film.
No, I think it was a copy of the books, not the movie.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The book's out in 2003, right? A film of $100 million takes 2 years to produce. They wrote this script before they saw the Dan Brown finished product.
But Dan Brown had done Angels and Demons and two other books, like Deception Point and this and that, before The Da Vinci Code or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but they weren't all the same. So it's just not quite the same. So yeah, you're probably right. Oh, well, that's interesting then, because I thought it was a total copycat, but it might very well be coincidence.
Yeah, you're right. Angels and Demons came out first, so it could have been based on that little sort of thing.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Still quick though.
Yeah, all right. So maybe National Treasure is as big a hack and more so, and I should hate it more than I do. I just think these films are nothing good. I don't like them at all. But it's a good choice.
But they were expensive.
List today. Yeah, 100 and then 130, you said? Mm-hmm. Fucking hell. My number 7 shits all over that in terms of cost.
Oh.
It is one of the most expensive films ever made, and it made $1 squillion because people were so enamored after the second one. It's Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3.
Three.
From 2007.
Oh, that's good.
And it was cost somewhere between $270 and $350 million. No one knows the exact price.
Are you kidding?
No, that's what I read today.
Is it? Wow, this was fraught with problems. This movie, like even production wise, especially production wise.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Raimi. So everyone knows Spider-Man 3. I'm not going to go into the story of why it sucks.
Totally,
it does, and it primarily sucks because fucking Peter gets infected by the symbiote and acts like a complete tool, and because no one at this point in their career could rein in Sam Raimi, who had created Spider-Man or helmed Spider-Man and helmed Spider-Man 2, both of which were huge juggernaut successes. And so Sony just said, here is the bank, i.e. up to $350 million worth. And everyone was too scared to rein him in at that point.
Now, see, I heard somewhere that Sam Raimi, he's openly said, this movie's a piece of shit.
Yep.
I didn't know what the fuck I was doing with it.
Because he didn't want to do all these villains.
That's what it was. They said to him, you've got to put another guy in. So he had to have a Sam Raimi.
They put it all in, but I'm saying the way it was shot, it's Sam Raimi to the extreme.
Yeah.
Like, go back and look at Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 and even Army of Darkness and then give those films 20 times the budget and you will have Spider-Man 3. It's the same shots, but whereas they work in a $5 million Evil Dead 2 or a $20 million Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
They don't work in a $250 or $350 million.
Because you see the money and you're forced to take it seriously.
But it's like a superhero sensibility, but applied to a low-budget cult film.
Do you know where
the way around.
No, I know what you mean. What we're talking about. So where Peter goes starts dancing because he's taken over by the symbiote, right? Now that scene there. Here's the thing, though. If you watch that scene, right? He's in the street. He goes and he buys a suit. He walks out, right? And he starts giving finger guns to all the chicks as he's walking down. Do you know that, right? And if you look, there's a couple of shots where it's from his point of view of the women coming towards him. And it's like about half the women dig him and half of them hate him. So I'm like, what is this scene? Like, did he turn into an actual cool dude or is he just weird? And I think it's actually more interesting to play that some women don't like him. But it was so bizarre. So yeah, I get it.
And it gets so off-putting in the light. And again, he wanted Sandman. He preferred Vulture, but they talked him out of Vulture and they ended up with Venom in the film. And then he had to also juggle Gwen Stacy. As a side plot, Bryce Dallas Howard is in this movie too.
I know.
Which is kind of forgettable when you really...
She's forgettable, but here's the thing. Kirsten Dunst is playing Mary Jane.
Yep.
And the thing that happens to her in the first Spider-Man is actually what happens to Gwen Stacy, but she dies in the comics.
Right, yep.
So it's very easy to mix them all up.
Yep.
And they're both blonde women.
So. Well, there's reddish hair.
Is it reddish?
Yes. Well, there's juggling too many strands.
Too many, exactly.
No pun intended. And even the scriptwriter who came in to basically... tool up the Raimi script, Sam and his brother Ivan. What was his name? Sergeant, I think. Even he just said, well, I wanted to make two films. There was too much content here. I wanted to do two, but I couldn't work out a way to make an intermediate conclusion that was satisfying.
Yeah.
So, that's right. Yeah. Good call.
Oh, damn. Yeah, no, that's a good call, man. That was a real good call.
Thank you, sir.
Nice one. My number six is Die Another Day.
Lolo!
No!
Lolo!
No! Lolo!
No!
I actually know what you're doing for a change. That was Paul's theme song for James Bond, done in purely lows. Die Another Day, everyone. I am a James Bond apologist. Always have been. Might always be. Even this one.
Oh, no.
For this one, at the time when I was watching, I'm like, oh, but, you know, maybe the ice thing was cool and maybe...
Oh, no!
It wasn't. It really wasn't. I mean, you know what really bugged me? Rick Yoon's character has blown up diamonds in his face 200 or 20 years ago. And for some reason, no dermy on earth can get the fucking diamonds out of his skin. Literally, I could do it with my nails.
You know why though, right?
Why?
Diamonds are forever.
No, I don't think they were doing that. I don't think they were doing that. I know you weren't doing that. When James, this is the one where he fucking did the surfing, the paragliding.
God.
This is that one, okay?
One of the worst scenes ever.
I sat
put
with,
to film.
I sat, the dude I was sitting next to, like, he's like, after that scene happened, da-da-boom, da-da-boom, and he's parasailing. And the dude leans over and like goes, I don't think that was real. And that is the turning point.
This sticks out in my mind. Was this the one we went and saw for Christian's birthday?
Yep, that's why it was Bieler that said it to me. It was looking at his brother, yeah. So
I'm walking out there going, okay, I'm done with James Bond.
Well,
and here's the ironic thing. So was James Bond, was done with James Bond.
Yes.
So Pierce Brosnan, this is last one.
Well, they fired him. He was going to do another one.
Well, exactly. Because I went, it still made money. Don't get me wrong. Every James Bond film will make money.
$432 million.
Yeah. Out of, was it, 120,
something
130
like
budget?
That, yeah.
Directed by Lee Tamahori.
The
guy
who
did
Once
for Warriors. And effectively fucked his career in the ass from Hollywood standpoint.
It's so tough. This is such a tough movie to watch.
Oh, it's so terrible. And so it was so bad. They didn't just fire Pierce Brosnan, get rid of that director and put him into Hollywood hell or Hollywood jail. They rebooted the entire series to make it grounded and gritty.
And you know what? When they pivoted to make it gritty, all of Hollywood went that way, right? And it was such, they were the first ones to do it because spy movies were this and were supposed to be this funny kind of thing, which is why it's even cooler that Kingsman worked a few years later.
Went back the other way.
Exactly. But that's the only one.
A little bit.
That worked because it was good, right? It's not with the trend at all. So if this is the movie we had to have to get Casino Royale, okay. But fuck me, it was so bad.
I'm right there with you. It's fucking terrible. Okay.
Rosamund Pike. Best thing about it. Rosamund Pike. Fantastic. Just the best.
Just with her fencing skills.
Just fantastic. Really good. Great outfit.
No love for Halle Berry?
Sure. But Rosamund Pike. So there you go. Best Bond girl ever.
What about Christmas?
Christmas Jones? Rose. Motherfucking Denise Richards? Yes, better than her, Paul.
We're clearly not talking about fucking acting and prowess. You're talking about looks.
I am. Well, look, it's all good. Don't get me wrong. If Christmas Jones turns up, some generic joke about Christmas coming once a year, okay? Something like that.
That's you give her a good new year?
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Yeah, no. Okay. you'd say, I'd like to Denise or Richards or something. That's what you would do, which makes no joke. Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes.
No, you would like to Richard her Denise.
Richarding makes a bit more sense for some reason.
We should get
I don't know. You'd like Denise of that. it's late. All right.
My number five is the film you won't agree with, but it fucking should be on this list. And if you were half a man, you would agree. Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones.
Eat my balls. That was a great fucking show.
It was a fucking gigantic piece of shit.
Dude, Yoda fucking busted ass at the end, son. And
after
you know,
2 hours and 20 minutes of trade fucking negotiations.
I will admit that was the worst part of the movie, but
the first 2 hours and 10 minutes?
No, the fucking trade negotiations. No one gets a rat's ass about that shit.
The first 2 hours and 10 minutes?
It wasn't the first half of the 2 minutes.
And Jango Fett and Boba Fett. Oh, come on then, son. Let's go over here.
Okay, well, look, I think that was somewhat misguided. And the idea that every stormtrooper that we saw, except for some in the Empire, are all Jango Fett underneath. A little bit weird. They never spoke like that.
And obviously not the way it worked out, ultimately.
No, not at all. Not at all. Okay, fine. All right, fine. But what I'm saying to you, like, this movie I liked so much. You know when they were doing the aerial scenes where there's planes flying over the desert, spaceships, right? They did, like, camera jitter and shake. They actually treated this movie very differently to a lot of Star Wars ones. It was really realistic. I kind of dug it.
You're...
I'm telling you, it came off like good.
The defense around this film is fucking baffling.
I really liked it. It's no Empire. It's no Rogue.
Fuck you, fuckball.
Well, I guess we know what Paul thinks. But I understand.
And I believe the vast majority of the Star Wars fandom are behind me that this was a terrible film.
Yeah, I would.
Whether it's worse or better than The Phantom Menace depends on how much you can tolerate Jar Jar Binks.
No, The Phantom Menace is worse. All right,
I think The Phantom Menace is more entertaining. What's
the worst Star Wars film? Is it this one?
This one.
Fuck off! It's not this one. Yep. Phantom is worse, man. Fuck it.
Look, I'm not going to die on that hill. I will take either one. These are one and two the worst Star Wars films.
Rise of Skywalker was the worst. No. This is better than that.
Rise of Skywalker has at least some modern sensibilities and some good shots and some interesting battles. This is fucking terrible. CG fucking Yoda. Yeah. Kicking ass, but not kicking ass enough to kill anybody, so Dooku survives the next
Rise
fucking
one. Skywalker, like, fucking brought back motherfucking Palpatine for zero reasons. Kiss my ass, man. That's worse than this.
That's a podcast for a different time.
All right.
All right, you're four.
My number four.
Oh, shit, that was five. Six. You're five, sorry.
Okay, my five is The Hulk. 2003's The Hulk. Now, everyone, The Hulk to me as a child was
traitor.
Bruce Banner. What?
Eric Banner. You traitor.
Hey, I wanted him to win just like everyone else, okay? But The Hulk is, remember the TV show The Hulk?
Yeah, of
course. I watched the shit out of that, right? So when I see this one, and I'm really excited because Ang Lee, right?
No, I'm not really excited about Ang Lee.
Look, he does a good one, a bad one, a good one, a bad one.
What had he done before
Crouching
this?
Tiger.
Crouching Tiger was years later.
Was it?
Yeah.
No.
About 10 years later.
Is it? I mean, look, you're probably right. really?
Once again, you talk, I'll look.
Well, okay, but then, you know, and I know this one came later.
Crouching Tiger. I'm not thinking of Life of Pi.
Life of Pi, yeah. So Crouching Tiger, which was huge at the time when we saw it. Anyway.
Crouching Tiger was before 3 as well. Sorry, I had it in my head. For some reason you were saying Crouching Tiger, I heard Life of Pi.
No, Life of Pi is, that's the other reason. But he goes and does this shit. It's sappy, it's dry, it's boring. And I'll tell you something else. Ang Lee motion-capped himself to be the Hulk. He didn't use Eric Banner. He motion-capped himself. And the Hulk looks stupid. Looks like an old
Hulk
guy.
Hulk does look stupid. Hulk, and I've not watched it again.
Oh, it looks like a weird old guy. Weirdly, this is part of the Marvel canon because fucking
William
Hurt is in it. And at the end of this is an end credit scene with Tony Stark in it.
Oh, I don't remember that.
That's right. Or was that the
No, you're thinking of the Ed Norton one.
The Ed Norton one. You're right. This isn't in there. Sorry, but it's still shit. So, yes,
no,
there you are.
It is shit.
Hated this one. $137 million. Dodge it.
That's a lot of money.
Piece of shit.
In the days before Marvel films were Marvel films, let's be clear.
Oh, absolutely. This is when we started.
All right, my number five is a film which I think is destined to be on your list given the attachment you will have to the titular character. It's Catwoman.
Lou! Yeah, okay. Please tell me all about Catwoman.
So Halle Berry received $12.5 million against the gross of this
Did
film.
Did she really?
No, not worth it. Because it destroyed her fucking career.
No, didn't she? Didn't she monster? Oh no, she'd done that before.
So Die Another Day was before this. Yeah, Die Another Day to this film. So we got two Halle Berry films in our list so far.
What's she done lately? After this, rather?
Not a lot.
Not that much, eh?
Not a lot. I'm not sure when X-Men was when she played Storm, obviously.
When was fucking Swordfish? That was before this.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
It's all gone. She was in some terrible My Son's Been Kidnapped film.
Oh, yeah, so the Bruce Willis one?
Nope.
No? Okay.
No, it's just her in a car chasing.
There is a Bruce Willis Halle Berry one, though, that came out kind of a few years ago. So she's still sort of working. But
look, she's still working. I'm not saying she's not. I'm just saying she's not the bona fide star
she's
that she might have been. Look, she made $12.5 million off this fiasco, so hats
you know
off
what?
To her.
That's why she turned up at the fucking Razzies and accepted the award.
Yes, she did.
And
said,
did
thank
a great
you
job.
To Warner Brothers for putting me in this piece of shit film or whatever she said.
Because she got $12.5 million and an Oscar, bitch.
This film was such a fucking failure.
Dude.
That it didn't even make its production budget back.
Doesn't surprise me, but it is amazing. You know what? Paul, Catwoman, the series, right? Oh, that's right. In the comics, it is just a normal woman, right? She's almost like Black Widow or whatever, Black Thingo. Who's the girl in fucking
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, what's her?
Black Widow.
Black Widow, right? Yeah.
The film that's coming out being delayed about a year now.
That's the one, yeah. She's basically that. In this movie, they decide to go and make her... Do you know how she gets her super... First of all, she's got superpowers, Paul, like a cat. But do you know how she got the damn superpowers? A fucking Egyptian ancient cat gave her CPR.
Is that any worse than... Yeah, it is worse. Than falling into a bed of cats when you're thrown off a building?
But that was a very different movie. Batman Returns had... because it was Tim Burton, the etherealness of it, it didn't make it okay. It wasn't like this, though, man. It wasn't like this. She was pouncing around really bad CGI.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, it makes me not like Sharon Stone in this movie. No, come on.
Yeah, that takes some doing.
Jeez. Yeah, horrendous piece of shit.
All right, here we go. So this movie made 1.9 million in Australia. That's all it made, 1.9 million.
Oh, my God.
So it was a huge loss. Sorry. And in their investor reports, this is some research I did online, the estimated earnings of future potential hits Ocean's 12, Miss Congeniality 2, Constantine, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory would not be able to cover the losses incurred by this film.
Really?
All four of those films, in terms of their profits, would not have covered the loss of this one.
Is that so?
Holy,
they must have spent an ass ton on promoting it.
Shit.
They must have spent a boatload on it, man. Shit. It's ugly as hell. Okay, not bad.
So what Roadshow did?
Yeah.
Was they covered, this is, I think, just for the Australian version, I'm not sure. Roadshow sold off 50% of its stake in a mall advertising business called iShop to cover the losses.
Bloody hell. That's actually, okay. Fair enough. Well, it's hot coming damn up on my list.
Or if
for
you
sure
prefer.
I do not.
Hot damn!
Thank you, asshole. Captain Holt.
My number four, everyone, is Men in Black 2.
Yep.
Now, I love me some Men in Black. Yep. Okay? Love the shit out of
didn't
it. Yeah, but then this one, they start doing this weird shit where Will Smith falls in love and it's a really crap love story. They bring Tommy Lee Jones back from his having been neuralized in the first one. And it is, I remember thinking to myself as I'm watching this, like, I really don't care. Like, I just didn't care what happened at the end.
Did you care more about this one or Men in Black International?
It's a real tough call. It's a real tough call because that one was truly ball sack.
It was terrible.
I don't know. But at the end of this movie, literally, it's like, they both fire a big gun into the sky and the bullet goes all and it destroys the thing that is. That's it. It's not like, it's not really even a big fight that much. It's just, it's so shit, this film.
We could totally do this type of countdown again for the last decade and you would have to say Men in Black International would be on there, right?
Yeah. That one was like just trying to reboot the thing and every single move was wrong. So, yeah. But anyway, this one here, it's when I stopped caring about it.
Fair enough.
There you go.
All right, nice choice. My number four, very personal now.
Oh.
Very personal.
Go on.
The Matrix Revolutions.
That's my number three.
Oh! yeah, for both of us. I've only watched this movie once.
You know, this is a big deal for Paul.
17 years ago.
Yep. Paul loves The Matrix.
Oh,
most people love The Matrix. I love The Matrix. Matrix 2, me and Paul are the only people on the planet who love.
I don't think we're the only people on the planet, but I think we like it more than just about everyone.
Yeah, I think so. And then this thing.
Because I can forgive. Like, it's the middle part of a trilogy. I can forgive the over-explanation. I can forgive the ridiculous kind of...
Setting up.
Because I'm thinking, as long as we nail the third one, holy shit, this film is worth it. And it had one of the great car chases and one of the great action scenes in the chateau. It's enough for me to forgive that film.
Was the freeway, was that number two or number three?
Two,
yeah. So two was the shit. And I didn't mind the fact that he flew at all. Yes, it was a bit CGI-ish. We were a bit early on then. Doesn't really matter. I didn't pick it up in the movies.
Well, look, I'm with you. I like that film a whole heck of a lot.
Mm.
But this film is complete garbage from start to finish. So having Smith being able to get outside the Matrix and get into the real universe and is going to destroy both and what the fuck and the Merovingian and the critical part he plays and the fucking train line and then Neo or Trinity dying and then Neo sacrificing himself and then it all starts again. The Oracle sitting there and saying, oh, well, let's give it another bash.
Yeah, I know. It was more that, you know what? All those things were shit, all right? But what really got me was that explanation at the end, right? Where the dude... Oh, it's the second one?
Don't know. Oh, I think maybe you're talking about the very end of the second one.
The end of the second one. Oh, yeah, that was the piece of shit.
Key maker or some shit like
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. Fuck, sorry. So then so then I forgot everything about the third one.
Look, it doesn't surprise me. I read about this film again today to remind myself how much I hated it. But I remember walking out of Belmont fucking Reading, whatever it was called back then, and being so angry. Mm. Like, how far did we fall? And... yet the magic of the first film, one of my favorite films of all time, is so all-powerful. It's like I've fucking given birth and I've forgotten about the third one and I'll go and watch the fucking fourth one when it comes out.
They're shooting that, aren't they?
It should, yeah. Look, it was going to be out in April.
Really?
It's now been pushed back for a full year because of COVID. So we're not talking until 2022.
Do we know who's
and
in
if
charge?
The show's still around, the Wachowskis are in charge again.
Yeah.
Keanu's back. I don't know who else is back. The dude from the Trial of Chicago 7, I think, and Aquaman.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yabdul, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, that guy. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
back again in that one.
Okay.
As well. Not back again, sorry. He's in that one.
We're going to see it, so, you know.
Oh, we're obviously going to see it.
But this was a piece of shit.
Oh, and one of the most disappointing cinema experiences of my entire life.
Yeah, this is Game of Thrones' last finale level of angry.
Yeah.
You know, it's that like that.
Yeah.
It's not quite Dexter. It's
close. Well, speaking of, new Dexter series. Can we hear that?
I know.
Oof, we'll be covering that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
All right. Over to you for number three.
Well, that was that one. So back to you for number two.
My number three is Die Another Day.
Die Another Day. Wow. Back. And my number two is Revenge of the Fallen, Transformers.
Holy shit. We are volley. Here's where we stop that particular back and forth, because my number two is a film you will not agree on. I suspect we have the same number one.
Well, no, because my number one's been mentioned. So.
What?
Wait, what have you got?
Well, my number two, first of all. Yeah. Superman fucking Returns.
Fuck off! That movie fucking rocks! I don't know what's your problem. Bullshit! I know most people hate this movie. It was a great film. It was like this, you know, Superman 2.5 or whatever they did that. I was very impressed with this Christopher Reeveness. Yes, he didn't really punch anyone. And yeah, he didn't punch anyone at all. Yes, I always point to the plane scene, which is excellent. But yeah, Paul doesn't like this, and most people don't. Go ahead.
You insignificant little fuck!
Not aimed at you. That's aimed at Bryan Singer and his treatment of his entire fucking film. What? Why turn Superman into a stalker? Why not have him do anything Superman-y? Why not have him fight anyone other than be shot in the eye and the bullet bounce off? Why is that this entire film him lifting progressively bigger things above his head? Who cares?
Well, lifting is a thing that Superman does.
He's such a... It's an awful film in every conceivable way. And many, many moons ago on Epic Film Guys podcast, we went across it and covered this movie, and I gave it a 1 out of 10. Generous as fuck.
I remember that day, and you were wrong then.
This film was god-awful, and I fucking hated it. And it was enough to put Superman in the ground for 7 years until Zack Snyder came along and did Man of Steel.
So I was enamored by all of the Christopher Reeve and all of the styling of the fucking show. They mimicked it all. Didn't really dig Lois Lane.
2 hours and 35, give or take, minutes of absolute fucking pants.
I wonder if I would ever watch this again voluntarily. Probably not.
Why would you?
Probably not. Just because 2 hours and 34
minutes. I'm sorry, I exaggerated by 1 minute.
Oh, that is actually quite long. Yet it zipped by for me.
Oh, so much so you've never watched it again.
Yeah, well, it's long.
Yeah. All right, give us your recap, Wayne. The worst 10 blockbusters of the noughties.
Noughties,
yeah. And your number one, reveal it.
Word. Number 10 is Shrek the Turd. Number 9, X-Men Origins Wolverine, whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
8, Stealth. 7, National Treasure Book of Ass. 6, Die Another Day. 5, The Hulk. Sorry, Hulk. 4, Men in Black 2, 3, The Matrix Revolutions, 2, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, and 1 is Catwoman. I hated the shit out of it.
Catwoman. Gotcha.
Go for it, son.
All right. My number 10 is Avatar. 9, Mission Impossible. Turd. Number 3, Transformers, Revenge of the Cunton.
Okay, let's just do that. Go on.
It's hard. Spider-Man 3, 7.
Spider-Man shit. I don't know. Spider-Man P. There you go.
Number 7, Star Wars Episode 2, of the Arse.
Oh, there you go. Good stuff.
Yeah. 6, Cat Pussy.
Cat Cunt.
You said it, not me.
Okay.
I said 6, that was 5. 4, The Matrix Revolutions. 3, Die Another. I got nothing.
Eat another shit.
Number 2, I'm channeling a little bit of Jack Black here, Superman cock-ass.
Okay.
And number 1, I can't believe it's not on your list.
Yeah, I've probably missed a couple
of 2008, things. Indiana Jones and the mention of the film I never make.
Oh my God, was that in the aughts?
Yep.
Man, I should have done more research. I can't believe that didn't come up on my shit. I spent some time on this too. Fuck, okay, yes, of course.
You
know why?
Because you spent a lot of time looking at the films that didn't make bank. This film made bank.
Yeah.
It's just fucking awful, right? And I know I make the joke, we don't refer to it, and all the variety of reasons, like once again, Shia LaBeouf being even more Shia LaBeouf, fucking swinging with monkeys, fucking getting rid of Supernatural and putting in aliens.
I mean, to his credit, he hates that too, but whatever.
Yeah, fucking Harrison Ford in a fridge being saved from a nuclear blast.
Have you noticed something? Steven Spielberg always gets a pass.
Not by fucking me, he doesn't.
No, check it out. He does this,
sorry,
right?
I'm being too angry.
No, he does this, and then they still give him the money to do like Ready Player One. You know? Like he doesn't.
Well, there was about 9 years in between, and he did a lot of more reasonably budgeted things like Bridge of Spies. And
yeah, okay.
I can't think of the one between Bridge of Spies and this film, but there was plenty.
Munich?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Could be. I think maybe I slightly earlier, but I could be wrong.
Could be right. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Munich's
yeah.
Good film.
No, but like this is
but
such
way a smaller budget than this. Or
well, it's such a misstep, and I remember seeing that him actually addressing it, saying that
it's such a misstep. They're doing another.
No, they're doing another, and Steven Spielberg is on record. Someone actually said to him, "How do you think this was received?" And he said, "Look, I gotta trust George to write the story. I got to. I have to give him everything. And I will give him everything."
Is that a real?
That's what he said. And he
shitty
said
shitty way of just going. Ah, it's all on you.
I think he actually said he did address it and say, "I'm not saying it's anyone's fault. This, that, whatever. But if George writes the story, I shoot that story my way. That's the agreement we have. He'll write the next one, and I'll shoot the next one. That's how it is. I gotta trust him." So it could easily be a third ball.
The Post. He did The Post as well in the interim.
One. Oh, The Post was the bomb. Actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, fair enough.
War Horse.
Never saw it.
So anyway, there's a few films in between there. Yeah, it's such a terrible film. And look, unlike Magic Revolutions, where the original film, and to a lesser extent Reloaded, has enough to make me keen to see what they're able to put out for the fourth one, I have zero interest in number five.
Come on now.
This has sapped.
Come on, you're going to see five.
I'll watch the first three, and I'm looking forward to the day when my daughter will allow me to let her watch those films with her.
Raiders are scary. I don't know about that.
Yeah, we'll have to wait some time. She's only seven and a half.
Yeah.
Like, give it another 2-3 years. But
I'm 45 and I can't handle it.
I'm looking forward to that day, but we will never watch four together.
No, you'll never watch four together.
No. Wouldn't it be cool? Five is somehow amazing.
What if they write the ship with five? What if that happens? It'll be like the Mission Impossible 2 of the Indian Age.
I'll just. In the inevitable 4K present to my dad, 8K present to my dad. All right, please. Hey, Dad, all the love. Please enjoy these four films.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, cool. Yep, no one would disagree with you on this one. And frankly, I think you've won this one.
We shall see.
Any other honorable mentions?
I did have a couple.
Go on.
XXX, State of the Union.
Good call. Mine too.
Yeah. Pearl Harbor.
Fuck off. That's good. I like Pearl Harbor.
And Jurassic Park 3.
Okay. I had the Adventures of Pluto Nash. I don't know if you ever saw this, but
I don't know if I ever did. That's why I couldn't.
Eddie Murphy has a bar on the moon, and it was a hotly contested script on Hollywood, and he finally got it, and it made so much.
This film killed Ron Underwood's career.
Yeah, fair enough.
The guy that did Heart and Soul, and if I'm not mistaken, Tremors.
Oh, really? Heart and Soul's good. You know what? This is $100 million budget. It made
eight or nine or something
under $7,103. Yeah. That's it. Fucking ridiculous. So bad. And that's it.
All right.
So, yeah.
That's Alice. What about yours? Let's wrap it up this week for episode 291 with your feedback on the topic at hand, a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10, which is exclusively from the Facebook listening community because we're recording out of sync. This one from Chris Sutherland. I'll just throw a bunch of Harry Potter movies in there. It's all terrible. Oh, and Spider-Man 3. Fuck that piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
From Joey DiCarlo from the So Wizard podcast, who had a couple of takes this, but his take two, which was legitimate. Attack of the Clones, not just the worst Star Wars movie, a flat-out shit movie. Number two, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. And number one, a film neither of us mentioned, Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within.
Oh, shit. The Alec Baldwin. I remember that one.
Do you remember the complete CG?
Yeah, it was fucking horseshit.
Yep, it was terrible. Jonathan Kidd had The Scorpion King, who saw that CGI and decided to make a spin-off. Number two, Pearl Harbor, a schlocky snooze fest. And number one, Jurassic Park 3. Even pterodactyls couldn't save this garbage.
Mm.
Chris Yeaney, patron extraordinaire, said Red Planet.
Is that Brian Palmer? No, that was Mission to Mars.
One of them was Mission. Yeah, who knows? They're exactly interchangeable, those two films. Huh. I think that one might have had Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer, I was thinking that, yeah.
Catwoman. Yep. And Wayne, you'll be impressed with this one, Sahara.
That's a bingo.
Like that movie.
That film is fucking ass.
I know.
Dan Brenning from the Netflix and Swirl podcast said, Catwoman is the only one I can think of. There are lots of other bad blockbusters, but most of them are watchable enough. I don't hate them. Nick Haskins said, Battlefield Earth, I'll never forgive.
I'm surprised that wasn't on your list.
Well, it only was made for 73 or 71.
Oh, was it?
Yes, it didn't meet the cutoff. But cool. Otherwise,
I never saw it.
So fucking lootly. Well, great call. Nick, and that he also gives a big shout out to Brad from the Cinema Guys because they watched it together on Brad's suggestion. Brad himself said anything Uwe Boll released, House of the Dead might be the biggest pile of crap, and I like bad movies. Ask Nicholas, Blood Rain and The Name of the King are sitting right in that steaming pile of Uwe Boll poo. They're all lower budget than I know our realms, but they're absolutely great choices. Great choices. Smiley Samani, he did say Last Airbender, that was 2010, so it's excluded. The Cat in the Hat, when the script came in, Mike Myers wasn't happy and refused to go forward as he felt that moviegoers would be cheated. He was then sued by Universal for $3.8 million, but he countersued, and finally, a settlement was reached where he agreed to make another film with the studio. It's pretty hard to succeed with a film where the star thinks dog shit before you even start the
film. How did he sign up to it? He must have signed up before the script was written.
And Smiley also had Battlefield Earth. Sam Hurley, aforementioned from the Movie Reviews and 20Qs podcast. Do check those good peoples out. Catwoman, Battlefield Earth, and Stealth. Absolute shite.
Boom.
Mina Harker said, staying away from franchises, and had Avatar 2012. Aww.
Paul likes disaster porn, everyone. Like
disaster porn. And Pearl Harbor. Blake Jarvis said, I'm a little concerned by how some people are defining a blockbuster, but came up with Die Another Day, Speed Racer, and he's number one, Hulk. So there you are.
Dude, Speed Racer, right? You could definitely think that about this movie. Check it out again sometime. It's got something on it. It's a surprise. Check out Speed Racer. I know. I thought the same thing when I first saw it.
Okay. Luke Alexander gave Catwoman and Superman Returns some props and then said, number one, the movie that doesn't exist.
Yep.
I look forward to Luke's vote this week.
There it is.
Lou Fry said 2012 again. Almost as shit as this year. Catwoman at number one, Avatar. Yeah, it's pretty, but what an absolute load of dog shite. The film doesn't hold up, and I'd rather watch a Titanic 2 than the 47 sequels planned for Titanic this 2. Pile of poo. Matthew Sterling said Norbit, National Treasure, and Geely. I don't think Geely counts as a blockbuster.
No, and I've never seen it either.
Any definition of the word.
But, I've often been curious, though.
But thank you, Matthew, for your contribution. And last couple here. Connell Tobin McNeil said, all the Harry Potters, they all suck, and as we now know, so does J.K. Rowling.
What did she do?
She was very transphobic.
Fucking hell, yeah. Really?
Yeah, not good. Not good at all. And last one here. Last two, actually. David Powell. Transformers Rise of the Fallen, just insultingly bad. The franchise just treats the audience like morons. MI2, fucking terrible movie. Somehow the biggest earner of 2000, so maybe audiences are morons after all. And expected to make bank but lost the farm. Pluto Nash, Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. And Catwoman is garbage too.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring it home, Nick Hemming said MIB2 was a letdown after the first movie. The missing fourth indie film is a joke. And all Transformers films are garbage.
Boom. Good work.
That is it for your feedback. Thank you so much for contributing to the show. And if you've got anything you'd like to contribute to the show, Wayne, how do people do that?
They can Google us to get all our socials, or they can send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
Hit us up on Twitter at thecountdownpc via the Facebook listener community, links in the show notes, and you can like and follow the show on podbean.com, and finally ccaradio.com.au for ourselves and some other great Aussie podcasts. Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 292? The countdown to 300 being well and truly on.
Well, next week we are going to do the top 10 movies with presidents in them.
The top 10 presidential?
No, it's going to be presidents because it's about the election. It coincides with the election.
Okay, how do we call this then?
We would call it the top 10 presidential movies. No.
That's better.
Top 10 president films? Setting a president. No.
We'll work out the title.
But it's about those things.
And it will coincide with Election Day in the US. Get out there and vote if you are a US citizen and make it count.
Nerd.
That's all we will say.
You know, over here, we have to vote.
Yeah.
There's no choice. You got it.
You get a $100 fine if you don't.
Exactly.
So, there's your incentive. Plus, you know, vote with your conscience. And that is it for episode 291 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Yeah! It's for every one of us! It's for every one of us!
Well, I guess it has been a while.
It has been a while. That's exactly why I played it, because I don't know how it relates at all to the worst 10 supposed blockbusters, but there we are. We will catch you next week. And that is it from today, the episode 190. No, not
191.
Well, not even 190.
291. It's 291, and it's kind of late over here, folks. I got to say.
I'll do it again. And that is it for episode 290 of the Countdown Movie TV Reviews. Fuck.
Thank you. That's your bloopers.